people have gathered in this place to give thanks to a God who provides. Let's worship Him today.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
Come on, sing it. A God who is faithful, who is good, who is worthy of our praise. Come on, you sing this, you know.
A place where your love is found, a place where forgiveness and joy abounds, where one endless song resounds. How great you are. A place where the word brings life. A place full of hope, where faith will arise and worship breaks through the night.
how great you are.
Let's declare it together.
This house will be a house of praise with heaven.
Welcome you to your house. You are welcome here. You are worthy to be praised. Let this always be a house of prayer and a house of praise. And let us, oh God, we your people, be filled with you, your presence, your power. Empower us and use us, Lord, for your glory. We thank you for your church and for this church, Lord, as you have built it upon this foundation, this cornerstone in Jesus Christ. So we give you these moments. Turn these moments into miracles in all of our lives because you are here. You are present in this moment. And we call upon your name to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Thank you. Go ahead and take a seat. We're coming off an incredible, amazing Easter. I mean, you knew it would be so, but truly one of our greatest days and weekends ever. Over 28,000 people joined us for services throughout the weekend, and hundreds of conversions and decisions for Christ. Another 50,000 or so were online with us live and watching along the way. And so we're just so grateful for so many people who came. Once again, Prestonwood people, thank you for inviting, serving, volunteering, doing all that you always do to make sure that people are welcomed here and encouraged here. And thank you for the privilege of just proclaiming the name of Jesus and the power of the resurrection. And now it's on. I mean, for the next 6 weeks, I was telling the staff earlier this week and our pastoral team, this is not time to coast. This is game on right now. Coming out of Easter and really over the next several weeks and summer, we have so many great opportunities. If you're back as a guest from Easter services, either here or online, we're glad you came back. And I hope you'll find a life group Bible study. You can go to Guest Central for information about that, or go online. Prestonwood.org is our website, and there are plenty of small groups that you can connect and be a part of the church for you and your children. So we're glad that you came back. If this is your first time with us, or you've been here many times, go to Guest Central after this service. We have a gift, one of my books on prayer, that we would love to place in your hands as a first-time guest. And we'll even give you buffet tickets for the greatest buffet around down at Main Street. So we're here to celebrate Jesus. And this morning was an incredible celebration. Earlier at 8:30, we gathered around the brand new Joe Perry Sports Complex and officially and prayerfully dedicated it to the Lord, and to honor Him and glorify Him by reaching boys and girls and men and women with the gospel. I've said it many times, Prestonwood Sports Outreach, founded by Joe Perry, is one of our most important, significant, and successful ministry outreaches, not only to the church, those inside the church, but in particular as well, those who are outside the church, our community. So we have built an incredible park just to the north of this facility. I hope you'll have a chance to drive around and see it. Some of you do not know that we have a north side of the property up here. You park on the south side and you've never been back there. So no, just kidding. Go drive back there and see it. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. And we had an opportunity to honor Joe Perry, who was the founding pastor and minister over our sports outreach. And so much of this program that we have today is because of his living legacy. The Joe Perry family is here today. Linda, would you stand at this time, and your family, and let us say thank you for your husband and father and grandfather and you. And one of the features of the park, the sports park, is a pavilion where we're going to have all kinds of events. This facility will not only be used for sports, which it'll be its primary use, and not only the church, but Prestonwood Christian Academy. We have many of our teams, our athletic teams, and events on this property as well. More about PCA a little later in the service. But this facility, this is a park-like atmosphere, so we're going to have events and concerts and food trucks and parties and all kinds of things. Just a massive, magnificent use of this great property that God has given us. We did some film of what happened out there this morning and a little bit of what happens out there every week. So enjoy. Watch this. So that's just a glimpse of it. And the glory of it is that God's name will be praised. The name of Jesus will be exalted in this place. And we're going to see hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands really, come to faith in Christ, and families united in the Lord, and community and fellowship with Christians is truly a remarkable thing. Just a quick story that kind of shows you what can happen. I had to meet the pastor for new members not long ago, and I met a beautiful family from Canada who had moved here. I asked the family, I said, how did you get to Prestonwood? And because they all came to Prestonwood, and they professed their faith in Jesus and were baptized. And I said, how did you get here? And she said, well, I Googled indoor playground in Plano. And your playground over here showed up. And we came to the playground, and we came to Jesus as a result. So I'm just telling you, God does that kind of thing. Amen? That's what God does. And so that's an indoor playground out there on steroids. And it is an outdoor experience. And again, thank you for your generosity. You're such a generous people. And on the project, I think we've got, you say, what's the update on the finances on the project? So our budget was $8.8 million. We've received to date from you and our generous donors $8,345,000. So we're that short, and that's pledged already and planned already. But keep giving, because we want to do more things. Our plan and our prayer is to build a beautiful small amphitheater on the Prestonwood Pond out here. And we want to do some walking paths and nature trails and a lot of other things as we go. And to upgrade our girls' softball field for Prestonwood Christian Academy. Also 7 and 8 year old baseball guys and gals on that field. So there's more to be done. And praise God for your generosity. Just in the last several weeks, when we asked you to give to Ukraine and the relief efforts there, and we're partnering with my friend Franklin Graham and the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, serving him right out of our local church here, Johnny and Friends for Children with Special Needs and Families with Special Needs who are refugees. By the way, on that beautiful playground that we built out there, I never drive by it these days, and I don't see people on it already. But there's a section for special needs kids and their families. So we're proud of that. We invested heavy in that so that everyone could have a place to play and have a great time. But on Ukraine, so far we have given, this is over and above our regular giving, $200,000 that's been distributed directly to these partners, and it's going to work with the gospel. My prayer, as a result of this tragedy going on, this immoral and illegal war Vladimir Putin has initiated and continues, that many will come to faith in Christ. There are many, many, many evangelical Christians in Ukraine and churches, along with Orthodox Christians and others. So be praying for this continued travesty and tragedy, that it could be ended in God's time. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And for many people, that purpose will be to bring them to personal faith in Jesus Christ, because so many Christians are flooding the country and the regions around it and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So thank you for your faithful giving. One more thing, Deb and I are taking a trip to Israel. That is departing this December 26th through January 4th. We have if you're interested, we're having a meeting May 1st, that's next Sunday, at 12:30 in the student ministry building down the hall here to answer your questions. And for those of you who have signed up, we already have nearly 200 signed up. And so spaces are limited, so we need to get you on board if you're going. It's wide open in Israel. The travel is good, thank God. All these masks are going away and all the rest, so we can travel and no vaccination required and those kinds of things. So that's a good thing. So we're going to Israel, God willing. God willing, we are taking this trip to Israel, and we would love to have you, your family, and your friends join us. It truly is the trip of a lifetime. All right, let's continue to worship the Lord, and bringing the message at this first service will be Scott Turner. So Scott is going to be delivering the message from Romans 14, I'll be up at the 11 o'clock service. So I got a partner here today. We all love Scott, who is associate pastor and preaching assistant here at Prestonwood. And so Scott, looking forward and praying for you as you preach. Let's worship together.
See, on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. And look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from His side. No greater sacrifice. What He's done. Freedom He has won, even death is dead and done, His life is overcome. And speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place, He is risen from the grave.
Good morning. Let's give God praise for the worship team this morning. Well, it's so good to be with you. I want to welcome you along with Pastor. And Pastor, it's a joy to share this pulpit this morning with you, sir. And let's give Pastor Jack Graham just a praise offering, how much we appreciate him and love him. And thank God for the Joe Perry family. Well, Pastor mentioned last weekend. How many had a great time in Easter last weekend? God is so good. Amen. Well, the people of God had the opportunity last weekend to come into the house of God and to worship and to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Starting with baptism on Good Friday. Did anybody see those baptisms? It was wonderful. Baptisms on Good Friday, and then three amazing God-filled worship services on Easter Sunday. Families and friends gathered together to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was a great spirit of joy and enthusiasm that filled Prestonwood on that morning. And you look back and say, man, it's those times, it was so good, I didn't want it to end. You felt the energy of your brothers and your sisters in Christ gathered together in this place. Children were singing, kids were worshiping, raising their hands. You sensed the presence of the Lord. The momentum was building. People were really being blessed. Souls were being saved. Hearts were being delivered. People came to the altar to pray. The Spirit, you could feel it. It was palpable. There was a sense of renewal in the body of Christ on that day. There was a spirit of unity on that day. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. As we talk about the principles of Christian living, I want to focus on unity in the Bible, in the church. Because see, the devil would love nothing more than to bring division, especially after a weekend like last weekend, to bring division and then to use the saints of God, the men and women of God, to do so. But we recognize him. We recognize his ploy. And so like it says in Ephesians 4:3, we will make every effort to keep ourselves united in the Spirit, binding ourselves together with peace. Amen? Every effort. That means every man, woman, and child under the sound of my voice, watching online, every effort, we will make an effort to bind together in the unity of peace, because we are the saints of God. Come on. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 6. And as you turn there, I want to give a little background on our text. When you get there, say amen, so I know you're ready. Amen. I used to like when they said that when I was a kid. So thank y'all for doing that for me. A little background here. So the Apostle Paul, in his letter, is speaking to the church at Rome. And there was tension between the Gentile believers and the Jewish believers, mostly over Roman culture and Jewish beliefs. And at the time that Paul wrote this letter, many of the members of the church in Rome were Gentile believers who had previously come from a pagan background of polytheism, in other words, the belief of multiple deities, but there was no particular day of worship in that background. And while the Jewish Christians, oftentimes, they followed the Mosaic law and the traditions of the Old Testament, and they had a specific day of worship, or a holy day, if you will. And because of this, there was great conflict in the church regarding secondary matters of religious practice, such as which day is holy, as well as what food do you eat. How many know those are secondary issues and not primary? And from the outset, I want to address this for our church this morning. In the current day church, in particular in our church, let's focus on Prestonwood. We have people from all kinds of backgrounds. We have people from all kinds of nations. Pastor just talked about a family from Canada. We have all kinds of ethnicities, those that are present and those that watch us online. We have all kinds of people that came from different denominations in this church. But we are all part of this body, this church family called Prestonwood. Amen. Everybody here is not going to think alike. Everybody is not going to always agree on everything. And we have to understand that as a family, as a body, as a church. However, there must be unity and there must be agreement on the primary essential principles and doctrines and issues of the church. For instance, Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. He is the Son of God, the only begotten Son. He is the Messiah. He came from heaven to earth. He was crucified. He was buried. That God raised him on the third day. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is coming back again. Amen. We also have to agree on the inerrancy of the scripture and the authority of God's word. It is the inspired word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and that is the authority by which we preach and by which we live. We also have to agree on the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These and other primary essential issues of the church are non-negotiables. Are we all on the same page? Let's look at verse 1, Romans 14. It says this: as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Look at verse 1. It says this: to welcome or accept the one who is weak in faith. This means to bring them in. It means to receive them and to take them into yourself. The idea or the point that the Apostle Paul is making here is this: not to look down upon other believers or talk down to or judge them, but instead welcome them, encourage them, bring them alongside of you. When the Apostle Paul says weak in faith, what he's saying is your brothers or your sisters or fellow believers that are weak in the faith. Not their ability to believe God or to believe in God, but those weaker brothers or sisters who don't fully understand what it means to walk in the grace of God. For an example, those brothers and sisters who don't understand that you are free to eat whatever you want. As it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all in the name of the glory of God. But they may not be strong in their faith and understand the grace of God just yet. It is a temporary weakness, not a permanent weakness, and we ought to treat them as such. Verse 2. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. I want to make a quick note right here. Each of us who have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, we can remember times in our walk with Christ where we didn't fully understand God's grace. Are y'all with me? We were caught up in thinking, especially as baby Christians, we were caught up in thinking that there were things that we had to do or things that we must do or could not do, because if we did, God might get mad at us. God might get upset with us. Anybody been there before? Or that he may not love us. And maybe it was because of how we were raised. Maybe it was because of our church, a specific church background that we came out of, but all of us who have a relationship with Jesus have been there at one time or another. But as we grow in our relationship with Christ, we become stronger. And hopefully we have a greater understanding of what it means to live in God's grace, to live under His unmerited favor. For those of us that are stronger, quote unquote, believers, we must be very careful not to look down upon or speak down to our brothers in Christ who may be weaker in faith. It doesn't matter how we feel about their maturity level in God. It's our responsibility to receive them, to bring them alongside of us, to not push them away by how we treat them or by how we speak to them. Are you with me? That's our responsibility. Because we all must understand the growth that you and I have had in our walk in Christ. Now I want to make a side note. If you have been walking with God for a period of time, there ought to be growth in your life. You should not remain stagnant or remain standstill. You're either getting better in God or you're getting worse. You're either getting stronger or you're getting weaker. But as we grow stronger in our faith, we have to understand that all of that growth has come because God has placed those people around us to walk with us, to teach us, to show us. And not only that, we have grown in God because of the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God and by the grace of God. It is not because of you. It is not of us in and of ourselves. Are y'all with me? People have helped us. They've walked with us. We've been discipled in the faith. We've received revelation from the Holy Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Amen? And that's where our growth has come from. And I was thinking somehow, sometimes Christians, church people, and I'm speaking of myself too, we can be very critical of others. Sometimes not on purpose, sometimes we may not understand it, but a lot of times as Christians, when we grow strong in our faith, we have a tendency, if you will, to be critical to other people, to other believers, especially those that have not been walking with Christ as long as we have. And it doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how many years you've been walking with God. If your heart is not right, then it does not matter. Y'all got quiet on that, but it's okay. It's my job to speak the truth. We have to love and respect and build up fellow believers. That's how we create and sustain unity in the body. Verse 3 and 4. And let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Here's another good picture from the Apostle Paul of the conflict going on in the church. It goes both ways. Weaker don't despise the stronger. Stronger don't scorn the weaker. And you better believe that the weaker brother thinks that he is the stronger one. And the stronger one thinks and believes that he's the stronger one. The one who abstains thinks that he is spiritually stronger because he only eats vegetables and he has great discipline and he's stronger. No, that doesn't mean he's hungry, but anyway. And the one who eats whatever he wants thinks he is stronger because he is walking in the freedom of God's grace. But either way, this is called spiritual pride. And there's no place for spiritual pride in God's church because pride judges. Pride treats with contempt. It scorns, it demeans, and that church is destructive to the body of Christ, and it destroys the unity of which we're focusing on. It destroys the unity in the body. When pride creeps in, it is destructive. If you are the weaker brother or sister, don't do that to the stronger one. If you are the stronger brother or sister, don't do that to the weaker. Why? Because the scripture says that God has accepted you both. He has brought you both alongside of him. The Apostle Paul makes a very strong point here, and I want us to get it. We are not to judge or treat with contempt our brothers and sisters in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. He alone is Lord of both the weak and the strong, according to the scripture that is before us. And not only is he Lord, but he is also judge. Not us. We are not Lord. And we are not to judge. Only God. Each of us as believers, we're all on the same equal ground with God. You may have been in a relationship with Christ longer than a brother, longer than your sister. You may even feel that you know more about the Bible than they do, but they may feel that they know more than you do. But again, it's a secondary issue. It doesn't matter. We have to come together. We have to come together hand in hand, arm in arm, and worship and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ together. According to verse 4 of Romans chapter 14, it says that Jesus is the one that will cause us to stand. And he is the one that will determine whether we fall. He is the one who establishes you. He is the one who establishes me. He is the King of Kings. It is not our determination. It is not our job it is not our job to determine who stands and to fall. It's our job to build up and to hold up and to love one another without hypocrisy. We are to love each other without hypocrisy, without condition. We have to have an agape love for each other. Remember, we are the body of Christ, and we are focusing on the unity of the body. You may not look like me. You may not even come from where I come from. You may not dress like me. You may not eat what I eat. You may not like chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, and green beans. You might eat salad and fruit 3 times a day, or you might just eat 1 meal a day. You may say, well, I like going to the 9:30, and I like going to the 11. Some of you in here like the ESV translation of the Bible. Some may like the NIV, the NASB, the New Living Translation. It may be some of you in here who like the old King James. I do. That's what I memorized my scripture. But it doesn't matter. The point is that none of these things are primary principles or doctrines of the church or of Christian living. It is what you like. Amen. Those are secondary issues, non-essential principles. And none of those things matter when it comes to your salvation, to my salvation in Jesus Christ. You're not saved because what's on your plate. You're not saved because you like the New Living Translation. You don't have salvation in Christ because you have a certain diet. You don't have salvation in Christ because you came from a certain place. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. You are saved not saved due to what you may eat, how you like to worship. Your salvation is not predicated upon any of these things or anything else but the blood of Jesus Christ and you repenting, turning away from your sins, accepting him as Lord and Savior, and turning your life over to him. That's where salvation comes from. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Somebody say all. All of us have sinned. We all need a Savior. But here's the good news. Because we accept him, we are saved in him. And we are redeemed in him. And therefore, we are free. And we don't have to try to please him through rules and regulations. Salvation is the work of God's grace. And in that grace, there is freedom. Nothing you do or don't do will make you more acceptable to God. You can't work your way into the kingdom. You can't like your way into the kingdom. You have to give your life over to him and accept Jesus. That's how you get into the kingdom. There's nothing that you can do or don't do to make him love you or like you any more greater. You're free to eat whatever you want. You can eat meat or you could be a vegetarian. You're free to attend the church you want. You're free to live wherever you want to live. You're free to work and take a job wherever you want to. As a believer in Christ, you are free in him. Now, to be clear, I'm speaking of biblical freedom, not worldly freedom or hedonism, if you will, which says that pleasure is its highest value or do whatever makes you happy. Just because you're doing something to make you happy does not mean that it pleased God. Is everybody with me? There is Christian liberty. And some of you may say, yes, we're free in Christ, but yes, we are not free to sin. As believers in Christ, we are to keep and apply the commandments of God to our life. And some of you may say, well, Pastor Scott, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Bible does, they say that. But it doesn't include the right to do wrong in the eyes of the Lord. A lot of times we like to use scripture to fit our lifestyle. I said a lot of times we like to use scripture to fit our lifestyle. Use the scripture for what it is. It's the word of God. And then you adjust your lifestyle accordingly. We don't have the right to sin. We are not free to sin. Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we live in a fallen world, we do sin and we will sin. However, it is not freedom to sin without consequences for your actions, for my actions. Are we together on that? Yes, we sin. Yes, we live in a fallen, dark world, but we are not free to sin and do whatever we want without consequences from heaven. We don't have the right to steal. We don't have the right to lie. We don't have the right to disobey God. We don't have the right to lust or to hate or to covet after our neighbor. That's sin. The truth of the matter is God has set us free not to do wrong. He has set us free so that we can honor him and glorify him by the decisions and choices that we make. That's real freedom. I like this quote. It says this: God values righteousness, peace, and joy among his people more than uniformity of personal opinion about secondary matters. Church, we have to relinquish and fall out of agreement, if you will, with spiritual pride. We have to love one another without hypocrisy. And we got to keep the main thing the main thing. Ain't that right, Brother Ron? Keep the main thing the main thing. We have to exalt Christ, preach the gospel, and win the lost to Jesus. And this will foster peace. It will foster joy and a spirit of unity in the church. And y'all remember this, the church doesn't belong to us. The church doesn't belong to the people. It doesn't belong to the pastor. It belongs to the Lord. Jesus Christ, he is the head of the church. He shed his blood for the church. He is the one who gives life to the church. He gives life to the church. He gives life to you, and he gives life to me. He is the head. Look at verse 5 and 6 in Romans 14. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should fully be convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Here's a couple points that I want to pick up on here. Some of the members in the church in Rome believed that one day was holy, and other members believed that each day was alike. But holiness in God lies in our common goal of worshiping him together and praying to the Father, not in tradition, not in religious practices. Jesus shed his blood on the cross, not for religion, but for us to have a relationship with him and to live according to our faith in him. We have to have a made-up mind. As the scripture says, Have a made up mind in your convictions. Have a made up mind that you're going to live to honor him in everything that you do. We don't live to please men. We live to please God. Look at Galatians 1:10. It says this, For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. He is the focus, not man, not tradition, not religion, not religious practices. Jesus Christ must be the focus of the church. And as followers of Christ, he must be the focus of your life and mine. See, when Jesus is the focus, we can set aside disagreements. When Jesus is the focus, we can work together for the sake of the kingdom. We can trust him to do what he said he would do. When Jesus is the focus, we can trust him to do what needs to be done. We can trust him to open our eyes and our hearts to receive what our brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ are sharing with us. When we trust Jesus, we don't have to always be right. When we trust God, we don't have to always have something to say. When we trust him, like it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we don't have to lean on our own understanding. We can acknowledge him in everything we do, and then he will direct our paths when we trust him. When we trust God together as a family, it fosters a spirit of unity in the church. And when we have unity in the church, when we have unity in this body, the devil cannot bring division nor disruption to this place. And now more than ever, we must remain strong as a people. We must remain resolute as the body of Christ. And if and when they arise, we must lay aside all petty quarrels and arguments. We must humble ourselves before the Lord. We must remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And according to Romans chapter 8, creation is longing for the true sons of God to be revealed. We don't have time for disagreements and petty fights and quarrels and arguments in the church to distract us and to hold us back and allow the wedge of division and disruption in the body. At this time in our nation, and quite frankly, in our world, people are hurting. People are looking for answers. And we all know that Jesus is the answer. Amen. And I believe that he will use us, the church, as a conduit, as a vessel, or a vehicle, if you will, to bring revival and new life and revitalization to this nation. But only if we will bind together in the unity of peace. We are the army of salvation that God is raising up. And today is the day. The clock is ticking. We got to get off the sidelines, church. And as Pastor said, we got to get in the game. No longer can we stand idle. No longer can we be caught up and secondary matters and issues. No longer do we have room for spiritual pride. We got to get off the sideline and get in the game. And Pastor Graham, this morning reminds me of the huddle in the NFL. And for those that don't know, I played football. And we used to get in the huddle. And the huddle, have y'all ever seen the huddle on TV? It's 25 seconds of unity and preparation. It's 25 seconds where 11 men are standing together arm in arm and hand to hand. And on the previous play before that huddle, all kind of chaos and things could have happened. And you come into the huddle and you have defensive linemen, you have defensive backs, you have linebackers. I play defense, and they're standing in the huddle, and when you come in, the middle linebacker calls the play. But before you get there, you might have gotten beat on a play. You may have gotten knocked on your bottom. They may have scored a first down on you. But when you come in that huddle, you don't bicker. You don't quarrel. You receive encouragement. You receive inspiration. Because your family is there. You only have 25 seconds. But it's a lot that can go on in 25 seconds. But when I look out amongst you, I'm reminded of this huddle. My fourth year in the NFL, I was a young player for the San Diego Chargers. We had a middle linebacker. His name was Eric Hill. He was a first-round draft pick from LSU. He was mean as a junkyard dog. He was about 6'2", 250 pounds, old-school middle linebacker. And I remember it like it was yesterday. Our starting corner got hurt, and the coach put me in the game. I was only a fourth-year player, and I came into the huddle. And Eric Hill looked at me. He said, "Look here, man. You in the huddle now." He said, "It ain't no drop-off in this huddle. You are supposed to be here. Do your job. We got your back." Oh, yes. He said, "It ain't no drop-off. Just because the starter, the stronger one, went out, and you're the weaker one, you're supposed to be here. And we got your back." We'll look around. This is the huddle. And we're living in the midst of chaos. But we're together. If you're here, you're supposed to be here. The weak, the strong, we got your back. You might even got knocked down on your way to church, but you're here now. And guess what? We got you. Do you have the same attitude to your brother and your sister? They might have got knocked down. They might not know as much as you know. They may not be as strong as you are, but will you welcome them in the huddle and bring them alongside of you? Jesus is Lord. And you may be looking at me and say, "Well, Pastor Scott, I've never been in the huddle." Well, you're here now. Oh, yeah. You're here now. Let's all stand together for our invitation. Don't despise your brothers and sisters. Bring them alongside of you. This is the greatest time of the church service. Because some may be out here and you say, "Well, Pastor Scott, I'm not a believer. I've been through a lot in my life. I've fallen. I've gotten knocked down. I've been living in sin." That's okay. We've all been there. We all need a Savior. And if you look around today, you're in the midst of family. Doesn't matter where you are in your walk with Christ, or if even you don't know Him, today is your day. Today is a day of God's favor. Today is a day of salvation. Welcome to the huddle. If you want to know Jesus, we want to walk with you. For the Bible says, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." Do you know Jesus for yourself? Because as we read and preached the scriptures today, we were addressing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want anyone in here, if you don't know Jesus for yourself, to leave this place and not be a part of the beloved family of God. I want you to have a blessed assurance that you will spend eternity with Jesus. If you want to know Him, we're here for you. If you want to be a part of this Prestonwood family and join this huddle, this church, which you have, you read all of the things that we believe in. If you want to be a part and you feel God is calling you here, we welcome you today. If you need to be baptized with believers' baptism, come. We would love to schedule and go into the water and baptize you in the name of Jesus. Maybe you just want to pray and come to the altar. Our pastors will be here down front. up top. We're here for you. We will pray with you. We will walk with you. We will stand with you, because we know that when we call this play and we say ready, break, that the war is on, and we don't want you to be left alone. Amen. Maybe you just want to recommit yourself to the Lord Jesus. We're here for you too. The invitation is open. If it is you, come and we welcome you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of invitation. God, we thank you for those that are here this morning. God, we bind the enemy, Father God, from keeping anyone who you are calling to come forth, Father God, into the family of God. Those, Father God, who need your salvation, Father, bring them. Those that need to recommit, those that want to be baptized, join the church, Father. This is your house. This is your church. The altar is open. Come, Lord Jesus. Bring those who you will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text JESUS to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.